All glory to the Son of Devotees. All glory to the Son of Devotees. All glory to the Son of Devotees. Shri Krishna Sankirtan Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, this new chapter about the deliverance of Shishupal. And we read text 3, 4, and 5. I guess we can chant the first one together.
Sababan Arivindaksho Dinanam Ishamaninam Dhattenushasanam Bhumams Tad Atyanta Vidambanam.
Translation. That you, the lotus-eyed Supreme Lord, accept the orders of wretched fools who presume themselves rulers, is a great pretense on your part, O all-pervading one. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, Yudhisthira said, O Krishna, you are unlimited, and although we sometimes think of ourselves as royal kings and rulers of the world and become puffed up over our paltry positions, we are very poor in heart. Actually, we are fit to be punished by you, but the wonder is that instead of punishing us, you so kindly and mercifully accept our orders and carry them out properly. Others are very surprised that your lordships can play the part of an ordinary human, but we can understand that you are performing these activities just like a dramatic artist. Text 4 together.
Nahi ekasya divityasya brahmana paramatmanaha karma bir bhartate tejo rasate cha yatarahe.
Translation. But of course, the power of the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Soul, the Prime Evil One without a second, is neither increased nor diminished by his activities any more than the sun's power is by its movements. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna, King Yudhisthira said, your real position is always exalted, exactly like that of the sun, which always remains at the same temperature both during the time of its rising and the time of its setting. Although we feel the difference in temperature between the rising and the setting sun, the temperature of the sun never changes. You are always transcendentally equipoised, and thus you are neither pleased nor disturbed by any condition of material affairs. You are the Supreme Brahman, the Personality of Godhead, and for you, there are no relativities. Srila Sridhara Swami quotes a similar statement from the Vedic mantras, Narkamana Vartate Na Kaniyan Satapatha Mamana Tattatriya Brahmana and the Brihat Aranyaksha Upanishads. He is not increased by his activities, nor does he become lesser. As explained here by King Yudhisthira, the Lord is one without a second. There is no other entity in his supreme category. And thus, it is simply by his causeless mercy that he agrees to carry out the orders of his pure devotees like Maharaj Yudhisthira. There is certainly no loss of status for the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he thus extends his causeless mercy to his surrendered devotees. So repeat, text 5. Navaite jita bhaktanam. Mamaham iti madhava. Twam taveti chananadi. Pashunam iva vaikriti. Na, not by. Indeed, te, your, ajita, O unconquerable one, bhaktanam, of the devotees, mamahamiti, mine and I, Mahadava, O Krishna, tvam tava iti, you and yours, cha, and Nana, of differences, dihi, mentality, pashunam, of animals, eva, as if, vikriti, perverted. Translation, O unconquerable Madhava, even your devotees make no distinctions of I and mine, you and yours, for this is the perverted mentality of animals. Report. An ordinary person thinks, I am so attractive, intelligent, and wealthy that people should simply serve me and do what I want. Why should I obey anyone else? This proud separatist mentality is also found in animals who battle one another for supremacy. Such a mentality is conspicuously absent in the mind of an advanced devotee and is certainly absent in the sublime, omniscient mind of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So somehow or other, the conditioned soul has a very special feature to them. They somehow or other demand recognition for some of their opulences. We scrounge around and try to find at least one opulence within ourselves, or two or three, and expect some recognition for that. But if you really look at ourselves, we're all just struggling to pay bills, right? Right. And just simply taking some medications to stay sane in this material world. So it's not what it appears to be, although this I and mine is predominant within our consciousness. This mentality is described here as perverted, like animals. It's a very embarrassing situation, and we've been in this condition for so long, all of us, that we really need to do something about it. But here in this chapter, we're seeing that Krishna is going to get the proper recognition, befitting his position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom there is no one equal to or greater than. The first, the invocation of Shrishta Upanishad describes very nicely. We can all say the verse together. Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vishishate. The Personality of Godhead is perfect and complete, and because he is completely perfect, all emanations from him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is also complete in itself. Because he is a complete whole, even though so many complete units emanate from him, he remains the complete balance. So there is no one equal to or greater than Krishna. He's not overwhelmed when he comes into this material world, as he does every once in a while. And he is in need of nothing. He's complete. Although the conditioned soul, as we were saying, although they think we're so great and we don't need anything except for our great opulences are there to shine and to be glorified, but we need so many things. We need to be a little thinner. We need a little more money. We need a little more of this, a little more of that. And what we need actually is to become more humble. We really need to step down from our thrones and realize that we are simply the servant of the servant of the Supreme, complete whole, Krishna. But unfortunately, it's that mentality is ingrained within ourselves. I know many of the devotees in this room probably remember when you called up your parents and told them that you found the absolute truth. Now you're surrendering and you're going to serve the Supreme Lord. You're going to serve Srila Prabhupada. And I remember my parents just practically dying. And actually, my mother even tried to commit suicide because of it. Because of their status quo, they've been working so hard to raise someone in this mentality that you don't have to serve anyone else. You are supreme. But we're not. They're not comfortable. The conditioned soul is not comfortable bowing down to anyone, to serve anyone. This position is just like it's out of their frame of reference completely. And my parents were just like so devastated to think that you're actually going to go from this position of being so-and-so and so-and-so's daughter and now becoming a servant of this mundane person, this Indian god or whatever. So it's crushing. But for the devotee, automatically feel more comfortable. I remember the relief of understanding that I'm not God. I'm actually just a servant of God. And I can do so many things for him. And I'm so happy doing those things. And as we become more advanced, as this Shishupala mentality of I and mine diminishes, we become even more comfortable before we actually understand that this new consciousness is actually our old original consciousness. And that we are actually feeling right at home here at the with our heads bowed down to Srila Prabhupada and the Supreme Lord. Lord Brahma, after he heard Krishna's instructions, he actually began to remember, oh yes, who his position was and who Krishna's what Krishna's position was. And so his illusion, this mentality, it was erased from his mind. And his revelations are there in the Brahma Samhita. We only have one chapter, unfortunately. I can't imagine what the other chapters must be like. Such it's so unfortunate that they were never preserved or found, you know. But in that one chapter, I was inspired from the bathing ceremony, getting to chant those prayers, which I don't get to do very often, but remembering some of the purports of them. And very, very awesome to hear these prayers, because Lord Brahma learned, he had so much revealed to him about the Supreme Lord, which makes you want to bow down, because he understands the splendorous aspects of the Supreme Lord. So I'm going to, the first, one of the first realizations is Ishvara Parama Krishna, right? That Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Godhead. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, and he's the prime cause of all causes. So important to understand this super excellent station, as it's described, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another very nice description, another verse. Evam Jyotimayo Deva Sadananda Paraha Atmaramasya Tasyasti Pratyana Samagamaha. The Lord of Gokul is a transcendental Supreme Godhead, the own self of eternal ecstasies. He is a superior of all superiors and is busily engaged in the enjoyments of the transcendental realm and has no association with his mundane potency. So when he comes here, he's not affected. And then we drop into the material world, we're conditioned. We open our mouths and demand something to eat, right? And demand our breath of air, demand everything. But Krishna, he's not in need of anything. So we talk of self-sufficiency a lot. You know, we think, oh yeah, solar panels and all these different things to help us be more self-sufficient. But when you think of Krishna being self-sufficient, everything comes from him. He doesn't need solar panels. He's got an effulgence that is greater than millions and millions of suns, right, emanating from him. He can produce anything he wants, right? He's producing millions of universes, complete universes out of the pores of his skin. What a great person this is. We have no conception of his greatness. But how easy it is that we forget of this greatness. Immediately we forget when we come into this material world. Even after chanting Hare Krishna for so many years, we forget the supremacy of the Supreme Lord. In the Shirsha Upanishad, there's another nice description. Such a man must factually know the greatest of all, the personality of Godhead, who is unembodied, omniscient, beyond reproach, without veins, pure and uncontaminated, the self-sufficient philosopher who has been fulfilling everyone's desire since time immemorial. So it's nice that we get festivals like we just had to allow us, Prabhupada arranged that we can remember the Lord by doing service, especially on these festival days, increasing our service and actually getting to, you know, touch the Supreme Lord and figuring out, okay, now what color scheme are we going to have for this outfit and figuring out how, you know, what kind of decorations we're going to have. Our mind gets absorbed in remembering of the Supreme Lord, even down to knowing the size of his waist and making the clothes so they fit perfectly and wondering if he would like, you know, this in his hair or this on his feet. It's really a benediction on our part that we can become so focused on the Supreme Lord, even to the point of wondering what pajamas we're going to have for him on that day. So it's really exciting for us. But at the same time, it's healthy to step back and to remember of this great personality that we're getting to worship so confidentially with, which your papa has arranged, that he actually descends here in the material world also in this Archa-Vigraha form, but also on the planet. Here he's actually become the, he has his friends, and his he displays his opulences, and he shows his different relationships he can have just to captivate us. I think most of us were captivated by that play the other night. So the Lord also, too, he plays these roles. He plays different roles when he comes here to the material world, and to captivate us, and to hopefully to you know, capture us from this material illusion that we've been in, this selfishness, this Shishupal selfishness that we have, hopefully that we'll want to give it up. But we're also here in the material world. We're playing in a drama. We're playing as conditioned souls, unfortunately. And we have some really great makeup artists. We have 8,400,000 different varieties of makeup we can have on. And unfortunately, we get really behind these roles. And so therefore, we think we're a doctor, or we think we're a chicken, or we think that we're a tree, or some little bird or something like that. And we get, you know, totally illusioned about this. So Krishna has to come and kind of shake us up and say, don't get so much into your role. You know, this is just a temporary thing. Wake up. Actually, your real role is to be a spirit soul, be a effulgent part of myself, and engage in loving service to me. So he says, in this age, he says, just chant my holy name. That'll help wake you up. It'll help you not to forget who you really are. And so we have to kind of give up all these different parts that we've been playing. That we know the roles by heart, right? You know, get as much as you can, be envious of everyone else, you know, birth, death, disease, old age, all these different roles we've got them memorized. Somehow or other we get excited every new birth that we have, but think it might be better, that we might not just have to struggle to enjoy, but maybe we'll actually get some pure enjoyment. But we know that that's not possible until we do cleanse our heart. Therefore, we have to chant these holy names sincerely. We have to get to the point where we're not being offensive in our chanting, so we can experience our real self and experience Krishna and arouse that love. In the Brahma Samhita, and every morning that we sing these beautiful prayers to arouse that love. I know that, you know, we kind of get used to the Govinda prayers, as we call them. But you can remember the first time you heard them, or you see people come in during that part of the program, the morning program, like a guest, and they're just like awestruck with that beautiful song. You know, they're just like, wow, I'm entering into a whole nother world. Sometimes we forget even the meaning of them. I'll see a couple of meanings here. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor who is tending the cows, yielding all desire in abodes built with spiritual gems, surrounded by millions of purpose trees, always served with great reverence and affection by hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis or gopis. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is adept in playing on his flute with blooming eyes like lotus petals, with head bedecked with peacock feathers, with the figure of beauty tinged with the hue of blue clouds, and his unique loveliness charming millions of cupids. So much revealed to Lord Brahma. So much we can have revealed to us of this celestial abode. Actually, you know, when you go to travel agents, they have all the little, millions of little brochures of different places you can visit, or now on the computer, the best 10 places to visit for your vacation, right? So if we actually listed on those, you're going to go to a place where there's spiritual gems. They're just available. And all the houses are made out of these things. And you've got touchstone, and you've got wish-fulfilling trees everywhere. Can you imagine? I think people might be saying, well, where is this place? You know, it must be top on the list to go to. You know, so maybe we'd get some takers. And so we have to realize that we are so fortunate to understand this place, that we've been rid of the darkness. Lord Brahma also was in darkness. But this darkness can be washed away just by chanting these holy names and hearing these beautiful prayers. The Lord Brahma was told to actually do tapasya to get out of this darkness. And we've been told, yes, your austerity is to bow down and to worship by chanting these holy names. And in our service, just like so much tapasya was put into that festival, you know, we lost sleep, we didn't eat, we spent many hours doing tedious things and stringing garlands and making all these things, and imagine putting on every single one of those little mirrors, lining them up all straight. So many things, you know. But this is just practice, because you know what? There's a festival every single day in the spiritual world, so we need to get kind of in practice and shape to be able to please the Lord every day. And what are we offering? You know, just some plastic and some mirrors and some wood and a little stone here and there. It's nothing like that is being offered to him in the spiritual world. So it's very kind that he comes, and that we're so, all the devotees in this assembly are so glad to see that he's getting the proper recognition, the proper status quo that he holds. But while he's here, you see that actually not only is he developing these relationships and fulfilling our desires and killing the demons, but he's also, it's described here that he's taking orders. He's actually fulfilling the orders of his pure devotees. And this reminds me of some other incidences, maybe you all can think of them also, where the Lord is actually following the orders of his pure devotees. Of course, immediately comes to mind is Sakshi Gopal, when the Brahmana was saying, you know, you promised, and now I've got this trouble going on, so you're going to have to come there. And the deity said, no, I'm a deity, I can't walk there. You know, anyway, if you can talk, you can walk. So, and so he did. He walked, and he walked, and he walked. I don't know how many miles it, but I'm sure it's hundreds of miles. So, yes, order supplier. Also, Arjuna, here, drive my chariot. Here, stop here, go here, right, left. Orders, yes, my pure devotee. Mother Yasoda, open your mouth. You've asked, been eating dirt. Ordering, you know, and Krishna has to follow that order. Another one, Satyabhama, ordered Krishna, I want that flower. I want that. And Krishna brought back the whole tree, like Parijata. And then there's one devotee, Raghunandana, his son, I believe, was left to make offerings to the deity while he was gone. And he got in trouble because when he was going to get in trouble if the deity didn't eat the offering. So he said, you got to eat this, you know, or else I'm going to get trouble. And so the deity had to take all the prasadam and to the amazement of his father when he came home. So maybe someone else has some other times when the Lord was ordering, you can think of. Anyway, think about it. But the key to all of this is that he is simply, the devotees are expressing their love and their trust. And it's the sweetness of this relationship between the devotee and Krishna that the Lord actually relishes, because they're saturated with love, just like in that Brahma Samhita prayer that the Lakshmis, the gopis, is described that all their offerings are saturated with love. We're not at that level where our service is saturated, but at least we can try to sprinkle a little every now and then, a little love on our offerings to make it so that the Lord will accept. And it's hard because we still have that mentality that's described here. But Krishna is worthy of the greatest worship. We should, you know, not lack in any way in our service to the Supreme Lord. For lack of knowledge, you know, we don't worship the Lord. We worship so many other things in the material world. I was just hearing, I think yesterday, about how people have these internet games where they create their gods because they don't know about the glories of God. They actually can make themselves like this personality. I don't know anything about it, but I hear that they can create and you can get weapons, you can buy weapons or something, and you can actually make yourself think that you're this supreme personality that can go and capture this and that. Anyway, it was beyond my comprehension. And then you can die, but then you can come back to life again. And so you're actually, you know, instead of worshiping Krishna, you're making yourself in this total virtual illusion of being this personality. And I can imagine that they're probably ugly as anything. Do they make pictures of them? Do you look like somebody in those things? Anyway, they're probably all like... Yeah, you can have muscles and stuff. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So this is like the grandest illusion I've ever heard of. Anyway, it's because they don't understand. Why don't they just worship Krishna? He's dark, handsome, good look. I mean, you know, everything. And he's powerful. And he's got weapons. And he's got love. He's got everything. You know, and he can conquer anyone just thinking about it. He can obliterate everybody on this planet if he wanted to. Why not worship this personality? And so anyway, this is the material world described here, this perverted like animals, less than animals if you ask me. Anyway, the pure devotee is described here also is beyond this, doesn't have this mentality. It's beyond this I and mine and you and yours. The humble servant. At the same time, the pure devotee is given so many powers also. We've been glorifying Prabhupada just for a few little hours the other day. We could have gone on for days glorifying Srila Prabhupada of his superhuman activities, of what he accomplished, because he is the representative of Krishna. And he should be worshipped also on that same level because he has that pure mentality. I remember that time when the devotees rented Rolls Royce and things like that. And news person said, it was criticizing, why are you doing this, you know, he's supposed to be just be a servant of God, you know, why does he have a watch, a fancy watch? And Prabhupada said, it should be a golden car, you know. So, you know, even this Sringasan, we're thinking, finally we've got something a little bit better. But, you know, what, maybe an ounce of gold on there. It should be solid gold, right? It should be fully decorated. But we're doing what we can, you know. But we should think that, yes, in this lifetime we should do as much as we possibly can, especially even now to glorify Srila Prabhupada in this year, to magnify his glories. Of course, when he said, I should have a golden car, he gives all his glories to his spiritual master and to Sri Krishna. But he also is trying to train us that to get off this mentality that everything should be for us, but that everything we possess, everything we do, all of our talents should be given to the Supreme Lord. And for us, it's just like offering a little lamp to the sun. It's describing here how wonderful the sun is. But at the same time, we can only do as much as we can and pray for the potency to glorify Prabhupada more this year. So maybe someone has some other things they'd like to say in this regard about changing our mentality and glorifying Krishna more and more and realizing his greatness. That's why Srila Prabhupada, although it's hard for the Brajari sometimes to think of worshiping on the level of Lakshmi Narayan, we have a tendency to be more in the familiar. You know, Krishna is so wonderful and he likes this and that. But we do have to remember that we're dealing with such a great personality and how humble we really should be in our offerings. Okay, Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Thank you.